Well, good morning, church, and welcome to Discovery Community Church on this beautiful, dreary February day. It's a little cold outside. It's a little bit rainy outside, but we have some good news. We have 7 hours and 12 minutes of daylight left today, and the best part is we get to spend the next hour of it worshiping God. So would you stand with us as we worship today? I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover, but the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name registered in heaven, and my praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. Together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. Grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. You're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. No, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done, God. 'Cause greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. Testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, and I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony.
Awesome. Hi. Everyone take a seat. You're already doing that. Very nice. Hi, welcome. My name is Jason. I am the director of connections and operations here. So it's nice. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hello, live stream, wherever you are. My people, I did live stream for years, so it's my community there online. Hey, I wanted to direct you to our worship insert here. This gives you a lot of information that you might need to know, as well as we like to direct you toward this connection card This is a great way for you to just stay in touch with us, for you to update any information that might need any updating, for you to let us know what you want to know more information about, and to include some prayer requests at the back. Today, I want to talk about our weekend teams. Weekend teams, huh? Yeah. There is a lot that goes into making this a worship space, and that includes the two teams that I lead, which are set up and tear down, and safety, as well as visuals, and live stream, and sound, and worship, and then down the hall, oh, guest services, hospitality, and down the hall we have our disco kids and our disco youth, too. So we are always looking for more people that want to serve on those teams. I'm personally praying for 4 to 6 people to add to my team. And we really like, we just want to provide you an opportunity to just like try it out. Maybe for a season, you know, maybe a couple months, maybe from now through the end of March, just say, hey, I'm interested in teams, and see where that goes. We would love that. So on this connection card, in addition to your name and your new address and your new phone number and a prayer request, if you could write weekend teams on the back, I would really appreciate that. As we know, weekend teams is an acronym for when each and every kind entity needs direction. That enthusiasm always motivates Sundays. Thank you. You don't have to write that whole thing. Just weekend teams somewhere on that card with your name and number. And I would love to get in touch with you and call you and chat about what serving us on Sundays could look like. Okay. What was that? Oh. When each and every kind entity needs direction, that energy always motivates Sundays. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Anyway, I will be back up here at the end of the service, but right now we're going to go back into some worship. John is going to he's going to do another sermon on this Lego series, and we're going to have our more worship with our tithes and offerings. Then we're going to get out of here. Probably stack some chairs. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Would you stand and join me in prayer as we begin and continue into worship today? Father God, I thank you for every single person that's here. I thank you for my friends. I thank you for my family that's here. I pray that you would see us, that you would hear us. I don't know where everybody else is, but I know where I am today, God. I know sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I'm weary, and sometimes all I can see is the failures that I've had. But I thank you, God, that you gave us Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing together here.
Come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing.
Give up.
hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Service where we carve out a few minutes to pray, and I'm going to ask that you just bow with me. For most people, Sunday mornings start similar. It's rare on a Sunday to wake up and for the sun to be shining and the birds to be chirping, for everything to be going sweet and smooth and easy for many of us. We rise up late. We rise up into conflict. There are parts of us that ache. A physical part, a deep, deep spiritual soul ache. For many of us, just the exercise of finding the keys, slipping the shoes on and making our way out was a challenge. And then we can arrive on a Sunday morning and just already is so busy and chaotic, and we just walk through the motions, and sometimes we miss the moment. And so for just a moment, let's pause long enough. To do what the ancient scriptures have said, and that is to be still and know that He is God. Father, while there might be a quietness in the room, sometimes there's not a quietness in the soul. These next few moments this morning, I ask in Jesus' name that you help us be present. And that you speak. Father, you might reach in some of those tender places of our soul and bring some healing, to replace some doubt, some disbelief. With a spark of faith, Father, I'm not asking that you buoy the human spirit, as much as I'm asking that Jesus, you would enter in every place on the throne of my life where I have placed all sorts of other things, including myself and my own desires and will, I pray something miraculous would take place. And I would clear that throne this morning for Jesus, you to take rightful place in my life, my broken life. Would you pray something like that with me? If you're in agreement with a prayer like that, you could just say, God, I want you. And he hears prayers like that. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. Father, we pray that you pour out your breath. Give life where there has been none. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 I'm glad that you are here and have taken your Sunday morning to be with us. We're going to continue worship. We worship in song, and we worship by opening God's Word. And so I want to encourage you to have a Bible. You might pull one up on your phone. There's always Bibles right behind Dennis. Dennis has, they're in the red sweater. He's got some Bibles in a little box. I want you to have a Bible. Throughout the course of the morning, you might discover, hey, Tad, before you go very far, could you pause for a second? Yeah. You might discover this morning, like, that we're just touching on something, and you want somebody, in a very kind of personal way, tender way, to be a part of your journey. On the way out, grab me, but I also want to introduce you to Tad. This is a friend of mine, and Tad loves to pray with people. And if you want to pray with somebody and then you want to make sure that it goes nowhere else, Tad'd be a great person. Right, Tad? So maybe at the end of the service, if you want to pray with somebody, you grab me or grab Tad, and we'd love to do that. My friend Jason, that you've met this morning, who has this wonderful Weekend Teams acronym, Jason would love to pray with you this morning, so grab him. So anyway, while you're getting your Bible out and get something to take some notes with, you can use, there's a, in that worship folder you got when you came in, there's a place for you to take some notes. I want to ask Tracy to come up here for a moment. There's been some really cool things happening in our church community. While she's coming up, we've talked a little bit about our sharing table. We have a little table over here where we invite people to bring food and to take food. And you don't have to sign up for anything. There's no, like, there's no bureaucracy. We just invite you to come and grab some. Come on up. Yeah, here, I'll give you my hand as well. And so I was told this morning, we've been talking about needing help making that happen. And so the entire month of February, we have people that have stepped up to make sure that happens. Round of applause for that. That's pretty cool. And as a church, we try real hard to make a difference in our community, try to partner with local schools for different things. We have a shepherding team that strives to make a real big difference. I don't know if you know that, but we have a team of people that want to come alongside you when you have challenges and also when you know of some things. And so I was looking around to see if Esther's in the room, but Esther leads our shepherding team. And so we're in the middle of reworking this team. We would like to grow it. So by the way, if you'd like to serve in a real prayerful way to come alongside people in their most tender needs, this church really wants to do that. And so we're rebuilding that team right now. We would love to have you be a part of that team. But Tracy was talking to me this week. It was on, I think, Monday or Tuesday. She came home from work, and she said, I got to tell you the story. And so I thought, I'm going to tell this story. And then I thought this morning, nah, she's a better storyteller. So I want you to hear a little bit about this moment she had. She's a teacher librarian in Spanaway at Thompson Elementary. So anyway, tell us a little bit about a little encounter you had this week.
Okay. So I'll go back further than this week. Right after the winter break, a family within our community at the school where I'm librarian had a house fire. And basically her husband and two children lost just about everything. And a lot of folks have been trying to come around them while they walk through it. You can imagine it's a significant amount of needs. And of course, I reached out to our shepherding team at Discovery with some of those needs. And we took a few things, but you know, after I sent that out to the shepherd team, just kind of continued to pray for them and love them, and I kind of forgot about it. And then every morning at the school where I'm librarian, I get to greet the children as they come in with their breakfast through the breezeway. And sometimes I'll hear, "Hola, Mrs. Fredericks," this is a dual language school, or I'll hear, "Oh, I forgot my library book," you know, things like that. Once in a while, I'll get some high fives and always a hug from my friend Geneva Curry, who's a student at the school. But I don't get a lot of hugs. I mean, they're holding their breakfast, whatever. And good morning, come on, stay to the right, good job, slow feet, you know, saying hello to all of them. And all of a sudden, this young lady is running toward me with tears in her eyes. "Mrs. Fredericks, thank you. Thank you," and just throws her arms around me. And I'm like, "You're welcome." "It's good to see you this morning, Emery." I have no idea. I'm just like, "Have a great day." But I'm thinking, what was that? And then later, I ran into her mom as a kindergarten teacher at our school. And I ran into her, and she said, "Your church, like, thank you so much. They just showed up and brought these gifts for our kids. They don't even know us." And all of a sudden, I'm like, "Oh, this is making sense now." That made an impact on that family and that young lady, because you guys generously give our shepherding team, when they get that kind of call or text message, are able to come through with some very real, you know, hands and feet of the Father. And even though she said to me, "They don't know me," I thought, yeah, but they know of the goodness and love of God. That's what they've tasted of. So thank you, Discovery. Thank you so much.
Isn't that good? She had no idea. She just said, "Hey, Esther, here's a need." And Christmas presents that had been burnt up were restored. And a family felt the love of Jesus. I know the shepherding team was the point, the tip of that spear, but they can do that only because of your radical generosity. And every one of you were a part of that, making a difference. So a little round of applause for the shepherding team. And anyway, that's not really part of my notes today, but when I heard that, I just wanted you to know that the way that you live in love as a community of faith makes a difference in our world and makes a tangible difference. And it does when somebody goes to a sharing table and is able to fill up a bag, and it makes an enormous difference when a family's lost everything in a fire. So thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 of the Good News Translation says this, "And now, my friends, goodbye." I thought that'd be a fun way to start. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 in the Good News Translation says, "And now, my friends, goodbye." This morning, we are going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to focus just on verse 11. Now, it's a weird way to start saying goodbye. This is sort of an indication that maybe we're wrapping up 2 Corinthians. We're not. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians for several more months. Next month, we're going to talk about, well, actually, we got one more week even in this series, and then in the month of February, early March, we're going to talk about how to navigate pain. And then we're going to come back in as soon as April's over, and we're going to talk about what I call the theology of work, basically the work-life balance, and we're going to talk about that. That's all going to be out of 2 Corinthians. But in this series, we're walking through thematically the different things that Paul talks about in this wonderful little letter called the book of 2 Corinthians. And it's an incredible little book in our New Testament. It was written to people originally, I think, that are very like you and me. I mean, they all had 10 fingers and 10 toes. that kind of thing. But I also mean they lived in a world, an environment that I think is very similar to our own. I won't go through all of that, but we've been talking about for several weeks. They lived in a hard time. They lived in a world, in a city that was loud and busy and chaotic. The city of Corinth itself was cosmopolitan, which means in some ways it's beautifully diverse. But I think as many of us understand that when a city and when a world, when a community is beautifully diverse, it also means it has unique challenges and difficulties. And the city of Corinth had unique challenges and difficulties. As beautiful as it was a mean place to live. There were vast inequities, incredible challenges, lots of change. The city itself was morally ambiguous, which means that it was hard to be a person. It was hard to be a person of faith in the city of Corinth 2,000 years ago, just like it's sometimes very, very difficult for you and I to be people of faith here in 2026. Just like today, the difficulties and challenges outside also begin to show up inside. And so Paul writes these letters. He writes, we think, maybe up to 4 letters. We think that we have 3 of them, but they're combined into 2 letters in your Bible and mine. He wrote a lot. He cared deeply for the people of Corinth. He was personally invested, and he deeply wanted them to experience the blessing of walking in a deep faith relationship with Christ. All through his letter, the book of 2 Corinthians, he addresses multiple different issues, but the thread that goes through the entire book is the thread of faith. Several weeks ago, we read from chapter 1, verse 24. We'll just look at it again just to remember. He says, Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy because it is by, what's the words up there? Everybody together. Let's just read that last word, the last sentence. Because it is, you stand firm. So having faith isn't just a sort of a luxury or a kind of beautiful, sweet thing. It is necessary for survival. It's by your faith that you stand firm. And so Paul is writing to these people in a world just like your world and mine, who are struggling to navigate that world and do it with faith. He's writing to fan their faith into flame. He's doing it because he's concerned about each and every individual in that church. But listen, he is also passionate about the community of faith thriving, because a community of faith is essential. The city of Corinth not only was filled with difficult people who Jesus loved, but the city of Corinth needed a community of faith so that the gospel of Jesus would make an imprint. I know that most of us show up on a Sunday morning to churches. I know most of us show up wanting God to give us a little injection, right? Just kind of a quiet nod is okay. Most of us were like, I need God to do something in me. And I get that. I want you to know this morning, I want God to do something in me. I want that. I want God to do something fresh and beautiful in me. But I also want us to recognize this morning that there's something bigger going on than me. Our world today, our generation, our city, the generations to come need a church, a community of faith to thrive. I believe the city of Tacoma needs a church in Lincoln High School to thrive, to make a difference. I believe if we want to see a revival, an awakening, a change, a transformation, there needs to be churches all throughout our city. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So as Paul is writing this letter, he is concerned. I want us to understand this. He's concerned that the individuals in Corinth are having vibrant faiths, just like he wants you. God wants you to have a vibrant individual relationship with God. He wants that. But let's be clear that God also wants something else. It's his plan, it's his strategy, that there would be a sustaining work of God in this city for generations to come until Jesus returns. And so that's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and now my friends, goodbye. So we're back there. These are the last words he's going to write to these people that he loves, that he's invested in. And so these are his last words. He's like, okay, guys, have you ever done this before? Like, you've talked and you talked and you talked. Anybody been guilty of this? Like, maybe you're disciplining your kids and you just went off for like 2 hours. And they're like, and then you're like, okay, I got to bring this home. And you're like, okay, if you miss everything else, you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had that moment? You thought, man, if I had 2 minutes and only 2 minutes, what am I going to say? This is Paul. He's like, okay, I've said a lot. But now I want to, if you've missed everything, don't miss this. And so we've been reading on the Good News Translation, now my friends, goodbye, but let's switch to the Bible that you probably have in your hands, the NIV. The NIV says this, let's read it together. Finally, brothers and sisters, here's my last words, goodbye, here's the last things I'm going to say to you. Finally, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. I love that last phrase. And who doesn't want the God of love and peace to be with them? Anybody? That's what I want. I want to wake up in the morning and be like, man, God is here. Anybody? I want to go to bed at night. I want to put my head down on my pillow and be like, God, that has been so good. I experienced you. I experienced you at my desk today. Anybody want that? You're laying down. You're like, oh, wow. Wouldn't it be good not to like have to take all the right meds, you know, to get all the lights just right, to do, you know, we all have these, you know, rituals that start at 7:30 just so we can sleep a little bit, right? Wouldn't it be nice and not have to go through that, but just put your head in the pillow and be like, God, it was so good. That was a curse word, by the way. God, it was so good to walk in your presence today. Anybody? So you're with me, right? That's what Paul's saying. He's like, you want the God of love and peace to be with you. By the way, the beginning and the end of the Bible is all about that. Like Jesus' final prayer in the garden, he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. He's like, this is it for the human experience, to know God. Amen? Amen. I like it in the Old Testament. You guys might remember in the Old Testament, maybe you don't remember this. Let me tell you, this is an incredible moment. God leads the people out of, what's the land? Egypt. Out of Egypt into, where are they going to go? Okay, we got to go back. We got to start all over here. People of Israel, they're in the land of Egypt, and they want to go to the promised land. So God delivers them. You guys remember the Red Sea? You know, Charlton Heston? Remember that? Okay. So the water separated. They go through, and cool things happen in the wilderness, right? They're going around the wilderness, but like awesome things are going on. They have like, how cool would it have been to like every day you get up and you're led by a pillar of fire, right? Or led by a pillar of smoke. It's like every day, all day, you got this presence of God. And by the way, while that is happening, they screw up. I mean, they are just tanking it over and over again. And so in the book of Exodus, God's kind of had it. And he said, listen, I'm a God who keeps my promise. He says this to Moses. I'm a God who keeps his promise. He says, and so I'm going to give them the promised land with all of its milk and honey. They can have the big grapes. They can have all of it. They can have the bounty. They want all that stuff. They want their gut to be filled. They measure their success and their happiness by the things that they have. God says, I'm going to keep it. He says, you can take them over there, Moses. They can have the promised land. And then God says to Moses, but I am not going to go with them. I don't know, in 2026, I think a lot of us would take that. I mean, I think if God said, you know what, I'm going to give you a car that starts every time. Anybody? I'm going to give you the car that starts. I'm going to give you enough money so that at the end of the month, there's still a little bit in the bank after you paid all the bills. I think some of us would trade everything just for stuff. But Moses, when he hears that, he falls down on his face before God and he says this, oh God, do not send us anywhere unless you go with us. What would make us different from anybody else on the planet? What would make us different from the dogs and the cats and the animals? We must have the presence of God. Now, I hope that that's the cry of your soul. And when you hear Paul write in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, then you will know the love and the presence of God. I hope it stirs something in you and you're like, that's what I want. I don't know what he was talking about earlier. I would gladly get in my car every day and never know if it will start, as long as I experience the presence of God. I would gladly not know where I'm going to live next month and experience the presence of God. Amen? Okay, so that's what Paul's talking about. It's like, you want this, right? You want to experience the presence and love of God. And so then Paul says this. He says, there is a way to experience the presence of God. He said, there is a, like, and he lays it out for us. He says, this is how, and going back to our conversation about faith, this Lego series, Paul's like, this is how you fan that flame. This is how you live a vibrant faith. And let's read it again. Maybe you missed it, so I'm going to read it in another translation. This is the WE translation. It's just another translation, same verse. I think it comes out a lot clearer here. He says, now, my brothers, in closing, I say goodbye. And then he says, be what you should be. Listen to what I say. Be good to each other. Agree with one another. Live in peace with one another, and the God who gives love and peace will be with you. Is it coming out a little bit more? Every time we read it, maybe in different translations, is it coming out? The path to a vibrant faith requires you and I living in God's redeemed community. You cannot have a vibrant, brilliant, growing faith and live isolated from God's people. It's an impossibility for you to experience the growing, glowing, beautiful presence of God in your life and not be living in His community. It's what God has designed you for. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. When Jesus bought you, when he bought you back from death and sin, he bought you to put you in his family. Psalms 68 says this, God sets the lonely in families. What is it that God wants? He wants you and I to reject the pulse of isolation in 2026. And live in his redeemed community. In Jesus' final words to his disciples in John 13, he says, a new command I give you, love one another As I've loved you, so you must love one another. In verse 35, he says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let's just not miss this. We live in an age of individuality. We love our individual rights and our individual freedoms and our individual relationship with God, and God's my personal Lord and Savior. And while those things are true, he's not only your personal Lord and Savior. He's redeemed you to live in his redeemed community of faith. Finally, brothers and sisters, strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And then the promise of God, the God of love and peace, will be with you. God's promised presence is on his people who live in community. And I'm not saying this just for you. I pray for my city. I pray for our country. I pray for this generation. And I know that if God is going to do an amazing work, he's going to change the culture. He's going to do it through his community of faith. This generation and the generations to come need men and women of faith to live in community, to push away from this pulse of isolation in 2026. Now, here's the question, and here's where we're going to go. It's like, how do we do that? What's my job? What do I do? And now, I want you to see it. That's why we're going to take, we're just walking through one verse, verse 11. Paul says, there's four things I'm asking you to do. And so I'm going to talk through these four things. Like, what is it that I need to do so that I can experience this community? And furthermore, what is it that we need to do so that there is a vibrant, growing community of faith in this city? Number one, we need to mend what is broken. In the NIV, it says it this way, strive for full restoration. But the Greek word that Paul pens is a Greek word that simply means this, mend what is broken. And what's broken? Us. I thought if I let the pause be there long enough, people might say things like everything. You know, you and I, we are the Imago Dei. We spent a lot of time talking about this last week. You're the image bearer of God. And that means that you have the capacity to create some of the most beautiful things. Amen? You do. And we as human beings have created some of the most beautiful things, but it also means we have the capacity to destroy beauty. Amen? And the Bible calls this, there's a three-letter word. Bible calls it what? Sin. See, you said it, I didn't have to. All right. Don't want to talk about sin. That's the reality, though. We live in a world that's marred by sin. Human beings have made decisions to tear down what is beautiful and to destroy. And once sin entered the world, it made a relationship with God impossible. What's broken is your relationship and my relationship with God. It's irreparably broken by us, okay? But the second thing that sin breaks is not just my relationship with God. Sin breaks my relationship with who? Anybody? Everybody else. Like this, sin has destroyed this, and sin has destroyed this. And so God's answer was to send his son Jesus. And Jesus taught amazing things. He performed great miracles. But that's not why he came. He came primarily to pay the penalty of sin. The Bible says the penalty or the wages of sin is death. And so he, on the cross, he paid the full penalty of every one of your sins. And that makes it possible for you and me to be close to God. But as Jesus was dying on the cross, he wasn't only paying the penalty for your sins between you and God. He wasn't just redeeming this. He was also redeeming this. His intent on the cross was not only heal your relationship with God, but your relationship with everybody else. And we cannot separate the two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength and... And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two great commands, right? One of the most beautiful passages, I think, in chapters in the New Testament is Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus is confronted. They're confused by Jesus and frustrated by Jesus and insulted by Jesus, particularly religious leaders. And they're insulted not just by the words that Jesus talks about. It's not just about his personal understanding of God and the words that he's using. They're watching Jesus and they're messed up. And so I'll read you just a little bit from Luke chapter 15, verse 2. It says, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man, is this up here? Oh, yeah. This man, you guys see this? This man what? Welcomes. I mean, they're frustrated not just by the words that Jesus teaches, but they're frustrated that Jesus is inviting the wrong people to the table. He hangs out with sinners and eats with them. This is code for he's doing community. He's letting people up close and personal into his little circle that are broken and messed up. And they're like, what the flip? Okay? They're like, there's something wrong here. This isn't right. If you're godly, you should be pushing away broken people, right? And so this prompts Jesus to tell three incredible stories that some of you love. The first one, he says, oh, let me tell you a story. He says, the guy had a bunch of sheep, 100 of them. And he gets back at night and he's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Anybody know how many does he count? 99. He's like, okay, 99 out of 100 is a really good grade, right? That's some people give you an A+ for that. And he's like, oh, okay, pretty good. But no, he doesn't do that. He's like, I'm missing one. And so he puts the 99 and he goes out. And we love this story. Why? Because it's us. I'm like that one that's lost and messed up. And he would leave all the kids who did all the right stuff, the good kids, he would ignore them and he would come after a messed up person like me. And man, this is elicited so many songs. And he goes out and he brings that lamb on his shoulder back. But we miss. We think so much about that individual sheep coming back. We miss what Jesus is wanting them to get. Because I don't want you to hear this. Okay, he's got the lamb on the shoulders, and we're thinking, I am that lamb, you know. Except then he says in verse 6, he says, but he goes home, and then he calls his friends and his neighbors together, and he says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. You see what Jesus is doing here? He's not only restoring this lost sheep to himself, he's restoring the lost sheep to community. As Jesus tells the story, he's like, he gets the whole community together, wakes them up. Hey, everybody, wake up. I know that you're in your beds, and I've been out in the dark, but you guys got to come out. We've got to do community together. I want to restore this lost sheep, not just to me, but to the entire community. Then Jesus tells another story. He says, hey, there's this lady. She's living alone. She's living isolated. She's by herself. She loses a couple of coins. And instead of saying, well, I got some others, she turns her whole house upside down. And when she finally finds her lost coin, she doesn't just grasp in her hand and be like, score, I got mine, we're good, my precious. Okay? Watch, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear Jesus' heart, okay? Verse 9, when she finds it, she calls her, is it up here? She calls her everybody? Friends and neighbors, what's this word? Together. And she says, rejoice with me, I found my lost coin. She restores her lost coin to community. She goes and wakes up everybody, like, we've got to do this together. It's not just about the redemption of this lost coin. And then while people are still kind of scratching their heads, Jesus then tells his third story. I think the most incredible story ever told in entire history of humanity. He tells a story about the prodigal son. Like, if you didn't get it, he says, let me tell you a story about two boys. One boy does everything right, one boy does everything wrong. In fact, the kid that did everything wrong, he looked at his daddy one day and said, I wish you were dead. And then he goes out, he moves as far as possible away, and he screws up everything, he blows his life up. When he's reached the absolute bottom and there's just nothing left, he is just a broken shell of a person. It's at that moment he says to himself, I've wasted my life. I can't even get a meal. Maybe I could become a slave in my dad's house. And so he begins this really long journey home. And I think most of us in the room have heard it. I won't belabor it, because it's been so meaningful to so many of us. But Jesus, he tells a story as if this broken young man comes limping over the hill. And the father, and it appears that he does this every day, he's standing on the porch, scanning the horizon, and in the distance he sees his broken boy. And his heart isn't filled with rage and disappointment. Instead, Jesus tells a story. He says his father grabs his robe and he pulls it up into his hand. And even though his legs are old and his back is bent and his heart has been broken for so many years, he climbs off the porch and he runs to his son. My son. My son. Now, we love that story because that broken boy is me. It's amazing that God doesn't look at me with disgust and anger and wrath, but he waits for me. Isn't that amazing? But I think sometimes we forget the whole of the story. I want you to hear it. The father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his bare feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us, as a community, have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and now he's alive again. He was lost, and he is found. And so they, as a community, they begin to celebrate. You see what Jesus is addressing? He says, on the cross, I'm going to pay the penalty for the individual's sin so that that broken boy can be reunited to the Father and so that broken boy can be reunited into community. In fact, you might remember the story. Verse 25 says, meanwhile, the older son was out in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. Did he go in? No. Instead, he called one of the servants. He said, what's going on? He said, listen, your brother has come, and your father killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And verse 28 says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out, just like he did before, went out and pleaded with him to come into community. Isn't that amazing? Let's not miss this, that if there's going to be a community of faith that's going to change and transform your life, and there's going to be a community of faith that's going to be sustained in this community for many, many years to come, we have to mend what is broken. And what is broken is certainly the relationship between men and women and God, but also between men and women and ourselves. In other words, Jesus is begging these people, Welcome in the broken and the lame and the lost. Invite them to the table. Kill the fattened calf. Throw a party. Go get sandals for their feet. Find the best robe and rings and put them on their finger. We must mend the brokenness. That's why we are here, friends. We must not forget that if there is going to be a vibrant community of faith, I have got to be a part of mending what's broken. Amen? And that means that I've got to not only welcome people into community, but I've got to welcome myself community. I just want to let it sit there for a minute. I need community. I need to welcome that community myself. I'd like to sit there a long time, but I'm going to run out of time, and you can see I'm a little excited about this, so forgive me. Number two, the second thing Paul says is that you have to do it for them before yourself. You might have missed this because the words are rather simple in the NIV. It simply says this: encourage one another. This is the same word that's used all through Scripture. It's used for the Holy Spirit. It means to come alongside. In other words, Paul's saying, be somebody who comes alongside somebody else. Position yourself different than the rest of the world. Like, from the beginning of time, people have looked at community and said, is this good for me? Should I be a part of this? Is this good for me? Am I getting fed at this church? Do they got the stuff that I need? Is it happening right now like it used to happen for me? Listen, asking yourself what you can get from community is normal. What is supernatural? What is a life of faith? Is asking yourself, what can you give to community? And Paul is saying here, he said, I'm asking you to position yourself as a person who comes alongside other men and women. Instead of asking yourself, will they even miss me today? Instead, ask yourself this: are there people in this community of faith who would be blessed by my story, my joys, my pain, my sorrow? Are there people that need me to come alongside them today? We say too much that I need the church. We don't say enough, the church needs me. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 10. Do not forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but instead position yourself as an encourager. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. I would love to spend a lot of time on this, friend. I just want to say this. This community of faith needs you. Number three, find agreement. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 in the NIV simply says, be of one mind. What does that mean? In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes similarly. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Have the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility. Value others above yourselves, not looking out for your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. This doesn't mean that you don't have independent thoughts. This doesn't mean that you don't have unique experiences, and that your unique experience and the way that you see the world is unnecessary. What it does mean is that the entire world wants you to find what separates, and God is asking for you to find what joins us together. It's easy to find what's wrong, amen? It's easy to find what we disagree with, amen? It's easy to see how we're different, but the gospel's inviting you to say, how are we the same? Where are we going together? Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says, I tell you, I love the way he says it, again, truly, he's like driving home, again, truly, I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything, it's really Jesus like, can you just find something? It's so dirt easy to disagree and then run the other way. What takes faith is to say, like, hey, what do we share in common? What do we believe about Jesus and his word and his mission? What do we believe about what's going to happen after our last breath here and our first breath there? Let's agree about that. In fact, Jesus says, if you would agree about anything, you could just ask the Father and it would be done. What he's saying is that so much power in a community of faith who stops focusing on their differences and says, this is where we agree. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen? His word is our guide. Amen? Amen. And our world needs that. Number four and last, cultivate peace. In the NIV, it says live in peace. And I had to do some digging. I was like, what does he mean, live in peace? And as I was doing some digging, I realized that the word there he uses is actually the word live in peace. Cultivate peace. And just for clarity, and guys, this is just kind of a promise and maybe a little bit of encouragement. If nothing else has encouraged you, I'm going to say this morning. Ready? There will be a day that the sun will shine in the Northwest. The sun will come out. And how many hours did you say, Katie, we had today of sunlight? 7 hours, 12 minutes, is that what Katie said? Okay. I just want you guys to know and be encouraged. It's growing. Like, every day there's going to be a little bit more sun, and pretty soon the ground is not going to be so soggy. And that little muddy patch outside your window is going to call your name. And you're going to go out there on a sunny day, and you're going to dig it up. Right, Ken? Ken is a great gardener, and so there'll be a moment that you're going to dig up that muddy patch, and you're going to remove the weeds, and you're going to prepare the soil, and then you're going to put in that soil anybody? You're going to put some seeds. Some of you put some bulbs, and then you'll cover them, and you'll go back, and in a week or two, you'll go back, and you'll pull some more weeds, morning glory probably. You'll be putting morning glory out of there, and you're gonna go on the internet, and you're gonna find what's the best kind of fertilizer, and you're gonna keep going out there. Some of you daily because you're awesome. Some of us like me, maybe two times this year. Okay. And you're gonna weed, and you're gonna prepare. You're not gonna harvest. You're not going to enjoy, you're not going to cut flowers, you're not going to pick some beans for a long time. You are cultivating. You're working the soil for something that will come in the future. And so in Paul, his last thing here, he's not saying go stumble across peace. You know, if you find the right church, dang it, it's going to be so good. Like, you fall into it, and they're out there somewhere is just the right place, and it's going to be so easy. It's going to be like tripping. Oh, I found community. These guys are so awesome. So I just want you to know, it doesn't happen. Paul says, you've got to build it. You've got to clear the weeds, and you've got to get your hands dirty. Like, if there's going to be a vibrant community of faith in the city of Tacoma for this generation and generations to come, it's going to be because some men and women got down on their hands and knees, and they got dirty, and they pulled some weeds, and they cultivated it. Through pain and hardship, confusion, frustration, through some fear, and they cultivated it. So Jesus was talking about the same word. So I'm going to read two other verses. The same word is used in both places. In Mark chapter 9, verse 50, Jesus says, salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, what will you make it salty again with? So have salt in yourselves and be at peace. Cultivate peace with one another. Isn't that cool? Mark connects the saltiness of the gospel, our impact in the world, to our commitment to get down and get dirty and cultivate peace. Romans chapter 12 says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. It is easy to complain. It is easy to find fault. And here's how this connects to faith, friends. Watch this. It's not just easy. It is the enemy's strategy to isolate you. And as he isolates you, that little ember of faith that has begun in your life, it will grow cold. Jesus came to save you, to redeem you to himself and to his community of faith. And friend, you need it. I need it. And generations to come need us to cultivate faith. A faith-filled community. I've talked too long. Here's what I want to do is I want to ask you just to do something. And we close every service this way. Typically, a piano player comes up and starts playing. It's usually a code that I need to wrap up. And then we take a couple of minutes and we pray. And so I want to ask you to do that. And I'm going to trust this morning you know what you need to be praying for. Some of you, it might be like, Jesus, I need you in my life. Maybe during this moment of just quietness, you would pray that. Some of you being in this room, it stirred up anxiety. It's hard. Talk to God about that. Some of you know this morning that you need to be a part of God's community of faith. And talk to him about it. After a couple of minutes, I'm going to close this in prayer. We're going to have our giving back to God time, and we're going to sing one closing song. But right now, just take a minute and talk to God. Father, we are grateful this morning grateful for you, the work of your son Jesus. Father, I'm praying that here with just some broken vessels that you would build this incredible witness to the power of the cross. The city needs not just this church, but churches all over our city that are not programs. I'm grateful for the great teachers and worship leaders out there throughout our city, but the heart of your church is your people living in communities of faith. So I'm praying, Father, you would build a family on mission In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have some friends that are going to come and they're going to pass some baskets. I'm going to encourage you to drop your connection card in there. Some of you want to give financially. Give it to God. Don't give it to a church. Give it to God. The church is a steward of those things, and so we try to steward those resources in ways that will just honor and bless the Father in our community. If you want to be a part of that, do so. We're going to sing a song together, and after our song, Jason's going to come up and give you the last couple of words. I'd encourage you to do a couple things. Hang out for a bit, get to know some people. Visit the sharing table. You can fill up a bag for yourself or somebody else that you know that's not here that might need something. Thanks for being here. God bless you guys.
You stand and sing.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me and oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Awesome. Thank you, worship team. Thanks for joining us. That's it. A couple things, but you can stay standing for these things. If you are thinking to yourself, just seeing me, oh, I forgot to write team, weekend teams on my card. You can say weekend teams to my face, and we can talk about that afterwards. We have to transform this area back into a cafeteria, but before we do that, we really want to spend the next 15 minutes just hanging out. hanging out and hugging and eating and just relaxing. We have a whole area set up over there. You can hang out here. That's fine. And then in about 15 minutes, we'll start breaking things down, and the sharing table is open as well for you to grab food for yourself or any loved ones or neighbors. Thanks so much. We will see you next week.